Welcome back to the Kennedy Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Allison, and today I'm joined by the one human being that needs no introduction on this podcast anymore. I don't think I have any more kind things I could possibly say about him.
Hi, I'm Allison's cousin.
No. Imagine if we were related.
Oh, God.
That would be so weird.
That would be a lot.
I feel like I really just say so many nice things at the beginning of every episode. It's like, I'm running out of things. I mean, you're great, but it's like, how many things can I say to describe you?
I understand the feeling. I think Caroline has a hard time with it as well. She, you know, when you're married to someone who's this, you know, magnanimous, this incredible, you really have a hard time. She says that magnanimous isn't the right word, but, is that when you're married to someone this incredible and people are constantly praising you, it's like, how do you deal with that? Caroline, yeah. how do you deal with that? She says it's poorly. She deals with it poorly.
Do you know how many, like, I literally have people message me all the time and be like, episodes with Ryan are my favorite. I got two last week. Two people text me and were like, your episodes with Ryan are my favorite. And I was like, great, thanks. I'm not going to tell him because his head gets too big. I can't do it.
Whoever you are, thank you so much. You are just
they know
wonderful.
Who they are.
Whoever you are, whatever your name is, I'm not going to let Allison tell me who you are, but listen, you're my favorite too. And I just want you to know that I think that you're fantastic and I appreciate your support of me on the podcast. I'm very happy and excited to come on whenever I can. Although I do test Allison's patience with my in incredible requests for time. So
yeah, that's only lately, really. We used to go really
long. The last two.
And then you've gotten busy. But if you think about it, the podcast started knee deep in COVID.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We had nothing but time on our hands.
Right. The world has certainly gotten much more hectic in the last year,
for sure.
Last 12 months. I mean, my life alone has just gotten, you know, incredible. Like I could plan out a 3 weeks from now with you or back, you know, a year ago and say, oh yeah, 3 weeks from now, for sure, I can do a whole podcast and we would go for like 2 hours. And now it's like, I got to check my schedule and I double book myself. And I like,
now you're like, we have soup night. We have French films to watch. We have too much to do. You don't matter to me anymore.
Like that is just not the case at all.
You've gotten
so big now. What? Tell me a little bit about this. Have you told your audience about your connection, your new deal?
Yes. They know. I announced it either last week or the week before that I'm now on a network, which is so exciting.
That's exciting.
Huge big step.
Big step. Being on a network.
Expect to happen so quickly. So I was very excited. I mean, I say quickly, it's been a couple of years.
I mean, it's been 2 years. So, you know,
I know.
I think it's quite frankly, it's overdue.
So,
there you go.
So kind.
Yes. Well, I'm excited for you. That's wonderful. It's really is cool to see the progression. It's cool to be here and it's cool to be a part of the story, even just a little bit. And so,
You're a lot of it. I wonder what the percentage of episodes you've been on. Probably 25.
Not 25%. It's certainly not 25. We record an episode once every like 2 months. I think you and I get together like once every 8 weeks. And so like,
by the way, speaking of that.
Yeah. Yes. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. We're coming close.
We're coming up. Jeffrey keeps getting super hype about it. And
what episode are you on? What's this one going to be?
This is 91, which means we have 9 weeks left.
Nine weeks. Okay.
Before.
So that would get us to like the first week of August.
Wow, that's a very hectic time. We may have to pre-record.
We might have to pre-record. And also the last 2 weeks of July are my birthday and we've got several things. Actually, we might just be in Nashville.
That would be ideal.
Okay. So hey, everyone, you're hearing the plans being made because there's a concert at the Ryman the weekend of the last weekend of July. And we've been debating back and forth of whether we're going to go and we're probably going to go. It's Turnpike Troubadours at the Ryman. If you didn't know,
I have no idea who that is.
Fantastic band, incredible band, but they're playing at the Ryman for like 2 nights only. And we've been talking about going. So
that's the time.
Maybe that's the time.
And also I'm headed to Europe in early August. So
look at you.
Yeah. So I'm
and
not
for this
be,
or just for, oh, just for, would to go with
no,
Jeff somewhere.
Jeffrey's working. So, and I get to go. So
yeah, hell yeah.
It'll be great.
Well, we'll talk more about that, but audience be prepared because we're going to have one hell of a night.
I think we're going to have a live element.
We should have a live element.
Yeah. We'll just have to figure it out.
I think so. I think
I need
it'll
to
work
have
out.
It on a slight delay. So when you start to say something really stupid, I can just like,
no, you know, I think your audience, I think, listen, audience members, message Allison this week and let her know how much you want full, unabridged, uncensored Ryan Pryor.
You know, it's gonna be hilarious is if I get none of those at all.
You get none of those? Come on, people, don't let me down. Don't let me down.
I'll count them up.
You go to Instagrams, go to the Grams, mm-hmm. get on your messages, and send her a message that says, we want RP just talking.
And while you're there, follow at
Yeah, while you're there. If you haven't followed her yet, how dare you?
Yeah, honestly.
How dare you? She can't say this, but I'm going to say it. How dare you?
Yeah.
So
I feel like I can say that. How dare you?
How dare you? If you don't have an Instagram, go get an Instagram. What are you doing? It's 2022. What are you doing?
It's time. The time is nigh.
I did, to be fair, just get an Instagram last year. But
that's not true. You had, well, I had one to troll.
Right. Back in college. And then I got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. Okay. Well, listen, let's enough about us and enough about the Instagram and enough about the 100th episode spectacular extravaganza. Let's talk about Robert McNamara.
Before we start, are you drinking anything?
I should be. Are you drinking anything? I'm going to be. You know what? Hold on, everybody. Just give me 1 second. Can you play elevator music during this pause?
I will.
Okay. I'm back.
All right. What'd you
and
get?
And tonight I'm having... I call this my summer drink. So this is a mixture of rosé and red wine with ice. And so it makes a wonder. No, don't give me that look.
That sounds like a raging headache.
No, it's fantastic. You put a little water in there too. And here's why it's beautiful. Red wine is not a summer beverage, although it can be. It really can be. Red wine's an all the time beverage. There's never a bad time for red wine. And rosé is a summertime beverage, but the rosé does something to my stomach. So like rosé, like white wine is too acidic for me. And like red wine is the perfect amount of acidity, but I don't want to drink it in the summertime. Okay. You following me?
I've got you.
But in the summertime, when you want something with the right mixture of things, something to get you going, you take some red wine, you take some rosé, you take some ice, you take some water, you mix that together in a glass. And all of a sudden you've got a wonderful fruity aromatic beverage that that doesn't bloat you like beer. Cause you know, light beer is the drink of summertime.
Mm-hmm.
It just is just uncategorically like is the drink of summertime. Yes. But what happens when you drink too many light beers?
You
get the bloat. You get a bloaty stummy. Three light beers in and my stomach's all bloaty. I'm like
bubble guts.
So this is the perfect beverage. You don't get the bubble guts. You get the nice, you know, fruitiness. You get a cold bev. Win-win. Yeah.
I've been lately really liking a good old Aperol spritz, but if you don't do...
Oh, Caroline, she just said she's been drinking Aperol spritzes. Ugh, kill me now.
They're so good.
Caroline loves Aperol spritzes. She loves them.
They're so good.
I had my first one, not to brag, but I had my first one on the train from Rome to Naples. It was in a can, but it wasn't very good and I didn't like it. So,
Was that your only one you've tried?
I had another one, but Caroline really gets into it during the summertime. So
I make a great spritz, but I am actually creating bubble guts as we speak with a nice old Bud Light.
The drink of Nashville.
And I'm just going to let you guys know, I look like I would be drinking a Bud Light right now.
Nashville, the Luke Bryan of cities.
Ooh, no.
Say I'm wrong. Say I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not. No. Hey, by the way, does your audience know that I hate Nashville? Did we talk about that before?
Okay. I think we have.
Cool. Just want to make sure everyone knows. Good.
I love Nashville.
I know you do. And I mean, I'm
also a lifelonger.
And I have very few things we disagree on. Well, that's not true. We have a lot of things. I think we have just enough we disagree on. But that is one of the big ones, is that we don't agree on the city of Nashville.
That's true.
But you know what that is? That is my opinion.
Oh, there it is.
That is my opinion. Yeah, right there. So
let's try to insert all the sound bites.
Yeah, we'll do them all. Let's talk about Robert McNamara.
Let's do it.
And so Robert McNamara, if you don't know, Robert McNamara was the John F. Kennedy's Secretary of Defense. He was also Lyndon B. Johnson's Secretary of Defense, obviously. You know, I mean, not obviously, but Lyndon B. Johnson decided to keep on Robert McNamara after Kennedy was assassinated, which we'll talk about in a minute. But Robert McNamara, as a prelude. was born in San Francisco, California in 1916. His father had immigrated to the United States in 1850 during the Irish potato famine. So by the way, McNamara died in 2009. I don't know if, like, you're a history buff, so you like to think about these things. But, like, isn't it so weird that, like, if you, like, in 2009, when we were in high school, mm-hmm. we were only one generation removed from the Irish potato famine. Doesn't that seem weird to you?
Yeah, that's super weird.
Like, you're learning about it in AP US history as, like, a piece of history that happened a long time ago. But, like, Robert McNamara was alive whenever we were in high school. And his father had immigrated to the United States in 1850. So we were only one generation removed from 1850 at that time.
There's so many things that are weird to think about like that. Like, the fact that Jacqueline Kennedy, Anne yeah. Frank, Martin Luther King Jr., and yep. Jeffrey's grandfather were all born the same year.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, all those people seem like they were in such different time periods yep. to me. And it's not that long ago. History that's is one, not yeah. that long ago.
It's not. No, history is not. We are not as far away from the things of the past as we think we are.
Right.
And I think that's one of the beautiful things about looking at history, and especially this whole podcast, is you start to realize that. And I think it's fantastic. But yeah, he was an Eagle Scout. He studied at UC Berkeley, where he graduated in 1937 with a BA, a Bachelor of Arts in Economics. And then he got an MBA from Harvard. You may have heard of it. Hmm. During the Second World War, he served as a captain in the USAAF, which is the U.S. Army Air Force. Because if you didn't know, the United States Air Force wasn't its own branch of the military until after World War II. It was actually a branch of the United States Army during that time. And in 1943, he mostly worked in statistical bomber analysis, which is, that's about as deep as I'm willing to go on that, because I have no idea what it means.
Sounds cool, though.
Yeah, it sounds cool. Statistical bomber analysis, you know, he analyzed bombers. So, yeah.
That might not even be right. Maybe. That probably wasn't even a correct description.
I know a lot about the things that I know about, and then I know a little bit about everything else, but just enough to get me in trouble in a bar.
Yeah.
Like, just enough.
That Again, should be the long title of your biography.
No, my long title of my biography is "You Study History So You Don't Look Stupid at Cocktail Parties." Mm-hmm. Like, that's like from our, I think it was, that was what, like your third episode that, or your second
like
episode?
Second. Yeah.
Was, yes. Yeah, and we're going to be, by the way, making a lot of references to your past episodes here. So, like, hey, if you haven't gone and listened to the second episode of the podcast from way back in 2020. It's called "You Study History So You Don't Look Stupid at Cocktail Parties." Fantastic ep. Great episode.
Also, don't judge us, because that was like truly yeah. our second podcast ever recording. Your first, my second.
That was
so
big. That was, yeah, that was for sure.
A little rough.
So after World War II, a colonel named Tex Thornton, fantastic name, mm-hmm. under whom McNamara served, he basically brought together a group of statistical analysts with whom he had worked.
I was thinking that didn't sound right.
In the Second World War. And they were all got together to try to help solve a problem for the Ford Motor Company. Basically back in like 1947, I want to say, Time Magazine had written an article about how the Ford needed to reform its models. It was, you know, and this is weird. By the way, Ford Motor Company at this time was probably one of the biggest companies in the world, right? Like, this is like, they had just you know, helped save the world from the Nazis because they had provided, you know, machinery for World War II. They were, up until that point, like one of like five major car companies in the entire world. And basically the Model T, you know, 30 years earlier or 40 years earlier had been the car, right? Like,
yeah,
the Ford company, like, I know today we all know Ford, and it's a big company. But when you think of like major players, you think about Apple and Microsoft and Amazon. You don't think about Ford. In 1947, whenever this was going on, Ford was it. I mean, Ford was the company.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, this group of individuals was hired on by Ford which McNamara was a part, to help innovate Ford's production process and also innovate them. And it sounds funny, but like innovation in the early 1950s, like this was like at the time cutting edge stuff, but you know, this is commonplace now. They were called the Whiz Kids or the Quiz Kids or something like that. You know, something that would sound snappy and cool because they were all young. Yeah.
Put that on and, a t-shirt.
Yeah. The Whiz Kids. And McNamara rose very quickly through the ranks and basically forced the company to undergo major changes they added computers, or what would be considered computers at the time, which would right now be considered like, I don't know, abacuses, abacai, right? Abacai.
You're asking the wrong girl.
systems, new systems, and also new car models for the 20th century. By 1960, he became the first non-Ford to be the president of the company, which is pretty cool.
That's huge.
And absolutely. And he was also, of course, one of the youngest presidents in the company history of all time. So that's also, you know, interesting. But when JFK was when he won the election in 1960, he didn't actually, was not the first one to get offered the position of Secretary of Defense, from which we would know McNamara. So your listeners who are interested in Kennedy history would know McNamara from him being the Secretary of Defense under John F. Kennedy. He actually first offered the position to Robert A. Lovett, and he declined and then recommended McNamara. And I found this interesting. And this isn't inflationary. So this is not based on inflation, which I know we're all knowing. We all know about inflation right now. Everyone's heard it a bazillion times. And Lord, if you go to the grocery store, you're experiencing the inflation.
It's brutal.
These are not inflationary numbers. He made $25,000 a year as the Secretary of Defense in 1960, which was a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that was still a lot of money. But he took a pay cut from Ford of from $3 million to $25,000. So I just want to put this into perspective for you. $3 million in 1960.
And that's without inflation.
Yes.
Holy shit.
That's normally nuts. When we talk about these numbers, we say, well, $3 million in today's money.
Right.
Whatever. No. $3 million.
Of course, if you think about it though, he was already kind of set. So he was like, all right, I've made millions.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'll be good to go. So maybe that's absolutely what he thought.
No, it's incredible. And so he took a giant pay cut. RFK was actually present during his interview for the position. And he famously told Kennedy that he didn't know anything about government and said sort of, am I qualified for this position? And JFK famously replied that they could actually learn together because he didn't know anything about being president. So, you know, a little quip there. I think another interesting
leap of faith.
That is, well, I mean, the country gave a leap of faith on electing Kennedy as well. So, I mean, you know. Again, remember, Kennedy, who's Kennedy running against? Richard Nixon, right? Richard Nixon was the obvious better candidate for president, right? Because he had been vice president for 8 years. I mean, the fact that the nation chose Kennedy was a testament as much to Kennedy's raw animal magnetism as it was to the fact that people were willing to take a risk on him. Actually, interestingly enough, McNamara in the interview also questioned whether Kennedy had written Profiles in Courage, which, as we know, he did not.
I don't agree with that.
It was so well that we can agree to disagree.
No, Ted Sorensen said that he did, that he wrote most of it and came out and said all that. If you listen to the Jacqueline Kennedy tapes, she explicitly says, like, over and over how frustrated she was about the fact that Ted did that to JFK and put out that narrative. She saw him writing it while he was ill and whatnot. Ted Sorensen did contribute some, but not near what JFK did. And then JFK goes on and to thank him for his contribution, gives him the money for the book, but he didn't write the whole thing at all. So it's very frustrating. Anyway,
I may have touched a nerve. I didn't feel that way, but McNamara also felt that way. Apparently Kennedy said that he did, but McNamara didn't believe him. But hey, we'll agree to disagree. You know more about it than I do.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong too, but I believe Jackie. I stand with Jackie.
You stand with Jackie.
I do.
Part of the deal whenever McNamara was hired was that McNamara would have full control over the Pentagon. And this is going to be important later on. Dear listeners, we had originally intended to do multiple part episode, including Robert McNamara and the Pentagon Papers, which are incredibly important. And we're going to talk about those later. But we're not going to be able to get to it during this episode or this episode series. You're going to have to look forward to that sometime in the future. But McNamara having full control over the Pentagon would play a crucial role, you know, some 8 years later. McNamara was often regarded as the star of Kennedy's team. He basically was sort of the centerpiece of what Kennedy considered to be his like menagerie of advisors, individuals who he felt he was very confident in. McNamara was also, I mean, he was tough. He learned quickly and rejected radical changes that were supported by people who had been a part of the military for like at all. Because remember, McNamara had only served as a captain in the Air Force. He wasn't a commander, you know, something like that, which is very vastly different. He basically helped to institute like a lot of military policy that would define JFK's tenure as a president. In fact, he helped really redefine the American military policy from what was called massive retaliation. Massive retaliation was sort of the predominant military theory in the 1950s, right, under Eisenhower, where Truman and Eisenhower. Basically, it was, if anybody uses nuclear weapons anywhere at any time, specifically the Russians, we will respond not just in kind, but we will respond with basically a world-ending salvo of nuclear missiles. McNamara and Kennedy sort of said that's sort of an outdated approach. We need to approach this with a more what's called a flexible response. And he felt that the U.S. needed other choices, basically something between inglorious retreat or unlimited retaliation. And that was this so-called flexible response that you're going to hear a lot about whenever you read books about Kennedy and his military policy. And again, Kennedy specifically placed an emphasis on McNamara's ability to improve the United States' ability to counter communist so-called wars of liberation. Now, these would be things like the war in Vietnam. This would be things like the Cuban Revolution. These kind of instances, which we sort of talk about, the proxy wars, which is what they would become known as, right? And it's fascinating to talk about in the 21st century, specifically in 2022, because we're seeing a proxy war go on right now. Essentially, what's going on in Ukraine is a proxy war between NATO countries in the West, the United States being paramount of those, and Russia and mm-hmm. their allies. There's no longer a Soviet Union. There's no longer a Warsaw Pact. But essentially what we're looking at is Russia taking on the major Western military powers. And what they're doing is supplying, weapons to the people of Ukraine. In response, the Ukrainians are basically fighting the Russians. But this is just another proxy war, essentially. It's the same as Afghanistan in the 1980s, and the same as Vietnam in the 1960s, and the same as Cuba in the 1950s, ad infinitum.
Ukraine's not a NATO ally, though, are they?
They're not in NATO, and they're not in the EU, although they probably will apply for membership soon, and they have tried to apply in the past, and they were vetoed.
I thought I read about that, yeah.
It is a fascinating situation. What we're actually seeing, interesting enough, we've talked about the Cold War a lot on this podcast because John F. Kennedy was such a prolific part of the Cold War. And interestingly enough, what we're seeing is the results of the end of the Cold War. Mm-hmm. So we're 30 years removed from the end of the Cold War. And this is where we are. The last 30 years have been relatively peaceful because the sort of the powers that be were no longer thinking about each other in that way. And Russia was sort of brooding. But the reason that Russia invaded Ukraine is largely because they're seeking to restore a sort of a Eastern hegemony and return Russia to a global stage. And Ukraine is an important part of that for them.
It's just so sad and so tragic.
It's terrible. The great adage is that may you live in interesting times, but I think we're getting a little tired of interesting times, or maybe I am.
I am too.
And so that's kind of where we're going to stop, I think. I think we have more than enough for one episode now.
Yeah, we're good.
And I think that we're gonna pick up when we come back next week on that discussion of counter-communist wars of liberation or wars of, whatever, because we're going to talk about South Vietnam and the importance that South Vietnam played in McNamara's career. And again, the connection to the Pentagon Papers, which is an episode that we are going to do in the future, but just not right now.
Sounds good. Also, I'll give a little backstory to why these episodes are a little shorter than my normal prior episodes. I am headed out on vacation for a couple weeks, but I did not want you guys to not have any form of content coming from Kennedy Dynasty, and I knew that you guys love some two-part prior episodes, so that is why we are pre-recording these, and then they will come out while I am out of town. So, and with that being said, Prior, thanks for joining me for this part, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Come on and vote for Kennedy. Vote for Kennedy. Keep America strong. Kennedy, he just keeps rolling up. Kennedy, he just keeps rolling up. Kennedy, he just keeps rolling along. Vote for Kennedy.
This is Peter.
And this is Tom.
We want to tell you guys a little bit about our podcast. Tom and I met in college, became best friends, and then teachers almost 20 years ago. Sometimes school just does not allow us to elaborate on the topics that we find interesting, like the real shark attacks that inspired the movie Jaws, or the real historical context to Indiana Jones artifacts. Where does cereal come from? Or are zombies real? Does Ben Franklin really deserve to be on a $100 bill? On our podcast, just like in our class, there are no stupid questions.
Just two friends having a lighthearted conversation about history, pop culture, and the context of current events.
Listen to History Teachers Talking Podcast from Evergreen Network, anywhere you get your podcasts.